Let me ask you a question. If you had the choice and you could omit any of the Ten Commandments, which one would you omit? Loaded question, isn't it? Huh? Which one would you omit? You got a choice of one. That's a hard question. I didn't really expect an answer because we're Christians, okay? But several years ago, Dick Clark, anybody knows who Dick Clark was? He was our age group, okay? Dick Clark asked that question to a group of celebrities one time, and they got in their name in all the different commandments they would eliminate, okay? And sometimes, you know, we live our lives in such a way that we do the same thing. And by that, I mean that basically, if we don't want to do that commandment, we don't do it. Or if we want to set it aside for a period of time, you know, we do that. And we just live our lives in such a way. We got to remember that those things are not options for us, okay? Go over to Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. And someone read that for me. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. Okay, so love is the fulfillment of the law, okay? And so we're going to keep that in mind. We're going to do a little study here over the next few weeks about the Ten Commandments, and we'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute. But we look at this world in which we live today, and man, we throw up our hands and we wonder what's gone wrong. Something's happened, okay? We've got dishonest politicians out there. We've got, people out on the streets. They're murdering people and robbing people, you know. We've got just people challenging God's authority, okay? And we stand back and people wonder, what's wrong with us today? You know, what's happening? You know, you can go down to the corner and buy any kind of pornography you want. There's drugs being sold in the hallways at their schools, you know. We know that there's something wrong. Okay, and so we question, you know, what's happened to it? Let me give you some statistics. Now these are kind of outdated statistics. I couldn't find any updated ones. These are about 10 to 15 years old, but it could not have gotten any better by now. But these are some statistics that come to us. In the United States of America, there is a serious crime committed somewhere in the United States every 2 seconds. Now, I'm talking about a serious crime. Okay, there's a murder every 23 minutes. There is a rape every 6 minutes. There's a robbery every 56 seconds. There's an assault every 48 seconds. And there's a theft every 4 seconds. Okay, that's just in the United States. And we think, whoa, man, how many people in the United States? 200 million plus, 250 million plus. We thought, well, that's not too bad. Well, it is. I mean, you know, that's a lot of stuff going on. And the problem is that those numbers are going up and up and up all the time. And I say these are some old statistics. I know they haven't gone down. They might have kind of stayed the same, but they're not going down. So if anything, they're going up. Okay. So we need to think about that in our lives. As a country, we are basically under siege by all this immorality. You know, you can drive down the street and you can see burglar bars on windows. You know, even though the fire department's asked us not to do that anymore because it prevents them from getting in. But still, people are afraid for their lives, and so they put burglar bars on their window. And they'll have maybe 3 or 4 locks on all their exterior doors, you know, to make sure that somebody can't get in. And then when we go to bed, we put a gun under our pillow or close by where we can get our hands on it, you know, for our protection. That's the type of world that we're living in today, okay? And we have to wonder, how do we get to this point to where we're doing all those things? Now, here again, I'm going to rehash a little bit. And we lived down here in Minden, you know, with my grandmother and granddaddy. We never locked the doors. Not when we went to bed. We didn't lock them when we left the house. They stayed open all the time. We never got broken into, okay? But that was a different society in which we're living in today. Today, you know, things are different. Good to see you, Charles. How you feeling, man?
All right. Sir.
Good, good. Good to have you back. You know, we think about the thing that transpired here up at this West Freeway Church of Christ here recently. Somebody walked right into a worship service and pulled out a gun and started shooting. And it's not an isolated case. This is happening all the time in schools and everywhere. That's the society in which we live. Okay, we have to be concerned about those things. And just for peace of mind, we're talking about those things, you know, here to make sure that we get something in place, you know, that would help us with those situations. We can't prevent them, but we can maybe, you know, do something there. So if you've got some ideas, let us know, because we're definitely having to look into that, because we don't want such a thing happening here. One of the sad things about all this stuff that's going on is that one third of all these crimes that we've been talked about are being committed by teenagers. One third. And 70% of them are being committed by people 25 years of age and under. Does that tell us something? Does that say anything to you? What does it say to you? What? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's probably right. But what it's telling me is that that age group is not being taught the same principles and the same morals that those older age groups were being taught. Not that we were perfect in teaching the older groups either, but something has deteriorated in our society, looking at these numbers, you know, that shows that people are not getting the training they use. You know, we're living in an age what we call the enlightened society. We're supposed to be a smart people, okay? But look what's going on. What's happened? What's happened to our world? Well, we've taken God out of our schools. You know, we've taken him out of our government. We've taken him out of all of our lives. And so we have then no fixed standards, no fixed norms that we can teach people by which they ought to live. Because those standards and those norms, where did they come from? Came from the scriptures. Okay? God laid those norms down for us. And so since we've taken God out of the picture, now who's to tell us how to live our life? What's right and what's wrong? Well, he's doing a pretty good job, isn't he? Okay? Okay? I mean, he's getting a lot of help, you know, for his success in the world. Okay? So, basically, if you take God out of the picture, and if you ignore what's written in the scriptures, basically it's, I can do what I want to. You remember we talked in our last series, we talked about if a person is left on his own and he's not taught morals and principles by which to live, basically he'll do what's selfish. I'm going to do what's right for me. Okay? Every time that's going to happen. And so we have to instill in people some type of standard, some type of norm, some type of morality in order for them to live the way that they need to live. When we reject these ideas, you know, we're asking for trouble. And that's basically what society tells us today. You know, we're kind of lax in our internal content. Okay, in other words, the lying, the cheating, and the stealing. And we say, well, nobody has a right to tell me what I should do. And so when we're lax in those internal convictions, what do you think is going to happen on the external? You're going to do what I want to do. You're going to do what's good for me. Okay? So people will say in this society in which we live today, there is no absolute truth. Okay? No one has the right to make rules for me. I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay? So how do you think we got where we are today? Well, that's by that type of thinking. Okay? So if we're going to change that, it's going to have to start with the church, first of all, okay, because we're the ones that are still upholding those principles. And we're going to have to begin to teach and encourage those standards and those principles and that morality once again, okay? That's what's going to have to happen, okay? So what we want to do is we want to begin with the idea of the Ten Commandments because let's do a little bit of reviewing here. It's been a little over 3,500 years, I think like 1450 B.C., that God sent Moses down there to Egypt and told him to, you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And you remember all that went on in crossing of the Red Sea. And about 3 months after they crossed the Red Sea, they camped around the bottom of Mount Sinai. Okay? They were there in that wilderness. They stayed there for one whole year, camped around Mount Sinai. What was going on in that 1 year? What was happening in that year? Why did they come there? Yeah, they're going to get the law. I don't know if anybody told you this, but there's basically three things you have to have in order to have a nation, a country, okay? You got to have people first, right? Okay. What happened when God sent Jacob down into Egypt? Okay. Joseph was already there preparing the way. So Jacob went down there and he took all his family down there with him. I think it was like 70, 75 people, something like that, went down into Egypt. They were down there for 10 generations, about 455 years they were down there. Okay. What do you think happened?
They multiplied.
75 people went into there. And when they came out 455 years later, there was between 2 and 3 million people. Okay? So we've got a nation. All right? Another thing that you have to have in order to have a nation is you have to have a land, a country, a place to live. Okay? Well, where were they going? They were going to the promised land. God had already given them this place. He told Abraham, this is the place. I'm going to give it to your descendants. You know, you're not going to live here, but they will. Okay? And so he sent them down there to become a multiply. They came out, they stopped at Mount Sinai, and they got the third thing there, and that is a law. Okay? You've got to have people, you've got to have a nation or a land, and you've got to have a law. You cannot,
Law of the land.
Law of the land. You've got to have a law. Okay? Now that's the problem we have today, is that people don't want to be told what to do.
What was that, the Ten Commandments? The law of the land?
That was part of that law. Okay? Now let's think about that. So we have a lot of people today that will say, well, wait a minute now. You're going back to the Old Testament, and that doesn't apply anymore. That's a wrong answer. It's a wrong answer. The Old Testament applies just as much as the New Testament. Okay? What does not apply is that old law. That law that was given to them there at Mount Sinai, because that was a law given strictly to the Hebrew nation, to the Israelites. Okay? It was strictly for them. It wasn't for us. It wasn't for the Gentiles. Okay, so that was their law. It was a temporary law. Okay, it was going to last only until Jesus came. Okay, and it was fulfilled in Jesus. So when Jesus died on the cross, that law was done away. Okay, so all those sacrifices and those types of things were done away. But let's think about the Ten Commandments. Were the principles of the Ten Commandments in effect prior to Sinai? Was it wrong to steal? Was it wrong to murder? Was it wrong to lie? Absolutely. Absolutely. They would. So those principles, those are eternal principles. They were good for the people before the law. They were good for the Hebrews. And they're good for us today. Okay? So that's not something that goes away. So when we talk about, let's not go back and teach the Old Testament. Well, it's okay. Okay? We're not going to try to enforce the Mosaical law upon someone, because that would be wrong. That's the problem the Jews had, wasn't it? They were following Paul around and saying, oh, those people got to be circumcised in order to be Christians, you know. Well, they weren't trying to enforce the Mosaical law, and it was no longer in effect. Okay, but those principles under that law are just as much in effect today as they were when God created the world. Okay, and they'll be here until God comes again. So we want to think about those things, and we think about the Ten Commandments, and basically what the Ten Commandments are, well, you can call them a lot of things, really, but those are just basic laws, basic commandments, that if we will apply them to our lives, they will teach us how to live pleasing to God, because those are the first three commandments, right, and also pleasing to our fellow man, to get along with everybody. If I'm not lying and cheating and stealing, you know, it's a good chance I can be friends with somebody. You know, but if I'm doing those things, people are gonna want to punch me in the nose, or, you know, or stab me or shoot me or something, you know. So God says, if these are the things that you'll do, if you'll live by these principles, okay, then you'll be acceptable. Now, question. Who gave God the right to say that? Okay, he created us. What else is there about God that gives him the right to say those things? Okay, he's omnipotent, okay. He's holy, he's righteous, he's just, okay. So if you in your life say, well, what, if I want to see something that's holy and righteous, the best thing you can do is look at God, to look at Jesus, okay. So he is the epitome of those ideas that he gave there in those Ten Commandments, okay. God would never ask you to do anything that he was not. Okay. He knows what's best for us. He knows what's good for us. And so he gave us these commandments, and he said, now listen, if you want to be pleasing to God, if you want to live a life that's meaningful, if you want to do things that will help you in your life, you do these things right here, okay? Now, if he did not say that, what would we do? Go off on our own and we do the selfish thing. Okay, I want to do this. This is what's best for me. It doesn't matter if I hurt anybody else along the way. As long as I get what I want, you know, that's okay. But God said, no, that's not the way. That's not the way. We practice these other things. All right. Now, here again, when we think about the idea of the Old Testament law, we think that about Jesus, and we say that Jesus fulfilled the law. What was Jesus' attitude towards the Ten Commandments? He kept them all as right. But not only did he keep them, but he carried them even further, didn't he? Remember he said over there in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you've heard that it's been said, don't murder. But I say, what did he say? Don't even hate your brother. Okay? So he's not dealing with the act necessarily. You know, that murder is an act, and he's saying, don't do that. Well, I could, you know, not commit murder and still hate my brother, and I've got a problem, don't I? He says, what I'm saying is, get to the root of the problem. Don't even hate, and that will prevent you from committing the murder. So he carried those principles even further. He said, it's been said in the law that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you what? Don't even look upon a woman to lust after her. Okay? So get those ideas out of your mind. And if you get those ideas, get to the principle, get the internal problem done with, you won't have to worry about the external thing there. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So those are just as applicable, even more so to us today, because Jesus didn't just deal with the acts of murder and stealing and adultery. He went to the core of the problem. He went to the heart of the problem. Okay. And so that's the idea of what we want to do today. Okay. We need some standards by which to live. Now let's face it, over the years, we've had philosophers and scientists and even theologians that try to play down the idea of God. Okay. You know, we need to get rid of these Ten Commandments. In fact, that was one of Sigmund Freud's big things. He said, if you want to be happy in life, get rid of the shackles of that Bible and those Ten Commandments. You get rid of those things, you know, and you'll live a happy life. You'll be better off because you won't be burdened by these things. Okay. Well, what we found out over the process of time was just the opposite happened. When you took away those laws and those regulations and those morality standards, we went south. Okay? And so, Sigmund Freud would probably roll over in his grave today when he hears the philosopher saying, no, we need something. We need principles. We need standards. We need norms to live by if we're going to be pleasing in God's eyes. Okay? So, there's a reason why God gave those things to us. Reason why was because if he didn't have them, we'd go off on our own and do what we want to do. So he's given us standards to live by, which would help us to be what we need to be. So without those things, basically, I'm going to do what's right for me. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, it doesn't matter. Now, let me emphasize one more thing here, this idea of legalism. Okay? We don't want to get caught up in that. Anybody know what legalism is when we're thinking about the scriptures? Legalism is that if I do all these rules and regulations, keep all these rules and regulations, then God owes me salvation. Okay? I do them, but there's no love in my heart. I do them, but there's no devotion to God. I'm just doing these good deeds, you know, to win and earn my salvation. And that's not the idea we're talking about here when we talk about keeping the Ten Commandments. We're not doing a regulated rule keeping. What we're doing is we're learning to be like God. We're learning to do these things because of our relationship to God and with our relationship to fellow man. Okay. Over in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's see, I wrote it down somewhere. Where did I write it down at? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Someone look over and tell me what that says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Okay, so works are not going to save us, okay? Our salvation comes by what? What did it say? By grace. And what is grace? We like to say, God's The what? Okay. We like to use that term unmerited favor. In other words, God's given me something I don't deserve, okay? Not because of my works, okay? Well, what part does works play in it? If God's grace saves me, then why do I need to do these other things? Okay, that's exactly right. If God's grace saves me, then my gratitude towards God would want me to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Okay? And so He's saying to me, these are the things that you need to do in order to be acceptable. Okay? And the reason why is because God said, that's what I am. The one that created you, these are the things that I represent. Okay? So these are the things that I want you to do. Okay, that will help you to live a fuller life, a better life, okay, and help you to be able to get along with your fellow man. Now, one of the things that I have a problem with today, and I tell people this all the time, but I still can't understand it, is that people in the church, when it seems like the bottom falls out, you know, you lose your job or a relationship falls out or maybe you lose your health, the first thing that happens is they blame God and go away from the church. Does that make sense? Have you seen that? And you go to somebody and say, well, what's the problem, you know? And they won't really tell you, but what they're doing is they're blaming God for their situation. Okay? Whereas what we need to be is we need to be more so with the church, because who cares about you? The people in the church. Where are you going to get the help you need? Where are you going to get the encouragement you need? Well, the people in the church. Okay? You think those people out there in the world want to do that? They might come put hand around you, pat you on the back and say, man, I'm sorry about that, but, you know, they're more concerned about number one, okay? And so what I'm trying to say is that's the way Christians ought to be, okay? And hopefully, as we were talking about in our spiritual maturity study, that we're getting to be more and more like that every day that we live by practicing these things, okay? So what God was doing was, when He stopped those people there on Mount Sinai and He laid down these Ten Commandments was, He was laying down some basic principles by which every person needs to live, not only to be pleasing to Him, but for your own benefit also. Okay? If you're kind to someone, are they not more likely to be kind to you? Okay? And so that's the idea you want. Nobody wants to be around an old Scrooge or old Fuddy Duddy or some old guy that, you know, never smiles all the time. They're drawn towards people that have a good attitude and a good spirit. And so God said, that's what we want. That's what we want. I want my people to be. Okay. So, that's what we need to think about. Okay. Now, let's read a couple more passages. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and 12. Yes. Okay. Now that's one we need to remember, because this can apply to a lot of things. And God knew what He was saying there. He said, there is a, what is it?
A way
that seems right to man, but the end is death. Okay. So without some kind of guidance, without some kind of rules, without some kind of standards, okay, we're going to do what's right for me, and that's going to lead to death or separation from God. Because what we're going to do is what's contrary to what God wants us to do. Okay, now, Psalms 119, 172. Psalms 119, verse 172. Okay, this is, I don't know if it was David or Asaph or who was speaking there, but what did he say? The what?
The law of God.
Who's he talking about? Whose words? He's talking about God's words. Okay, they're better than what? Okay. So if Proverbs says, you know, left to my own devices, going the way that I think's right is going to lead to my destruction. The psalmist says, you know, God's words are what? Yeah, they're golden. I mean, that's what we need. Okay. Now, go over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 and read that one. Okay, so that's how you love God, by keeping His commandments. Why? Because God has the right to say, you know, of our creation, not because He's bossing us around, but He's telling us what's good for us, okay, to keep His commandments, and that shows love. Okay, what's the opposite of that? If I don't keep His commandments, I'm not showing love, okay? So we talk about that over and over all the time through the Scriptures. We say, if you want to see what love is, you know, keep my commandments. Right? Do what I tell you to do. Okay. So that's why it's important. Now the good thing about all this is that God didn't just leave it for us to choose how to live. Okay. Because God is holy and righteous and just and merciful. Okay. Then He told us what we need to do in order to live right lives. Okay. Now, if I were a person and I had never heard of the Bible, and I happened to pick up a copy of the Bible and I turned over there and start reading these Ten Commandments and some of these rules, what might be my attitude towards that? I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know God. I didn't know who God was, but I read these commandments. What do you think my reaction is going to be? Okay, that could be. Well, okay. But now think about this. Now, I've got no knowledge. I don't know who God is at all. Okay, I'm just a self-serving individual, and I pick this up and I read this. I can't tell you what your reaction would be, but it might be, what is this guy, crazy or something? You know, what's wrong with this guy? You know, who wrote this stuff? I'm not going to do that. Okay. But here's the thing. Since I know who God is, okay, I've got some knowledge of God. I know He is the Creator. I know He is merciful and just and righteous and holy. Okay. Then I realize that gives Him the right and the capability of giving me these laws for my benefit. Okay. Without that knowledge of God, I might be indifferent towards those things which He says. But with that knowledge of God, they make it more meaningful to me. Because God has my welfare in His mind when He's given me these things. Yeah. God's not a big white bearded guy sitting up on a throne, you know, and looking down upon His creation and say, you better do this and you better do that. He's simply given to us what we need in order to live a good life. People who don't live by these, I hate to say rules, these directives, let's say it that way, okay, that don't live by them, they're normally miserable in life because they have no directive. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they want other than what's good for me. Their attitude towards other people is kind of indifferent, okay, but when God gives us these directives and we live by these directives, we're more motivated people, we're more contented people. Okay, we have a better relationship with people, and that makes life so much better. Okay, several years ago, there was a bunch of philosophers that conducted an experiment, and this being done in the state of Texas at this time right now, by the way. And what they decided to do was they were going to go into the state prison system in Georgia, and they were going to begin to teach the Ten Commandments and those principles to those inmates there. Okay, and this went on over several years. And they went back after several years and surveyed those inmates who had been released and went back into society. Okay, and what they found was that those who were repeat offenders before they began to teach these standards, the repeat offenders going back were like 22.5%. Okay, that's almost a fourth of everyone that got out went back in. Okay. When they began to teach these principles and these people began to adopt these principles, it went down to 9%. 9%. And that's one of the things when we went into the prison system out here is that the state of Texas was begging people to come in and do things like the church is doing out there now and teaching these Bible classes and giving these people a different principle by which to live. And the reason why was because they said when we do this, what we're seeing is that there is a reduction in repeat offenders. Okay? Now, what we see then is that if we don't learn to live by these principles that we have, and we have people that are going to ignore these principles, then what we have to revert to is we have to revert to a law, a penal system, basically, to try to make those people not do some of these bad things that they're doing, okay? And that's never going to work. That's never going to work, okay? A lot of times, in fact, over the years, our answer to the crime problem has always been, well, we'll just build more prisons. Okay, well, you build more prisons, you fill those up, you build more prisons, you fill those up. The idea is to instill in those people and teach those people the principles that would keep them out of those prisons. Okay, that's the answer. And if we live in a society that doesn't believe that, then there's no hope for them. There's no hope because people are just going to regress further and further and further away. We're seeing that today, are we not? We're going in the wrong direction today. I mean, we're no different than any society that's ever lived. And if we don't change our ways, you know, then we've only got one thing to look forward to, and that's a cease to exist, okay? And so we need to do our part right here today as Christians here at South Main Church of Christ to teach these principles wherever we can and wherever we go. And you're not going to be accepted, you know, real well by some people. But, you know, it's going to be like, have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, or find out you were a Christian, and they'll say to you, I knew there was something different about you. Have you ever had that happen to you? It kind of makes me feel good, you know, when that happens. But it's a shame that they didn't know sooner that you were a Christian, but, you know, that just happens. But they know by your speech, by your behavior, by your actions, they know that there's something different about you. Okay. And I have never heard anybody, you know, condemn me for what I believe in. I've never had that happen. I used to talk to a man that he used to say he had one standard answer to people when they would, you know, like I'd offer him a cigarette or something like that. And his standard answer was, no, thank you, I don't smoke. He didn't preach to them. You know, if they offered him a drink, he would say, no, thank you, I don't drink, you know. You know, he didn't pull out his Bible and quote scripture saying you shall not harm your body and things like that. He just lived the way that he should live, practicing what the Ten Commandments teach, you know. And eventually, he said, those people will come around and say, what's going on? Why are you different than everybody else? So what I'm saying is there's more ways to teach than just pulling your Bible out and beating people over the head with it, okay? And I'm saying that sarcastically, because there's time when you need to pull it out and beat them on the head with it, but not that way, but you know what I'm talking about. But when we think about the principles that God has laid down for him, he's teaching us a way of life. Okay, a way of life. And people are going to admire you for living that way. In fact, just think about this. If you were encountering some difficulties with your life, maybe you've hit a wall, you know, and you need some answers, you need some help with your life, who are you going to go to? To who? I'm talking about physically. Yeah, you want to go to God all the time and everything. But I'm talking about physically. It's someone here on this earth. Who are you going to go to? Who?
Pastor of the church.
Okay, that's a good answer. Why?
He's a godly man.
Okay, all right.
I expect him to be honest.
Okay, all right.
That's where I look
up to him. All right. Is that the only one you can go to?
Well.
Who else? Yeah, the person sitting next to you if they're living a Christian life, right?
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be able to do that to anybody in here. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the guy sitting next to me, okay? All right? And that's the good part about it. If you're living the way you ought to live, you know, and even people out there in the world, they know that, and they hit a rock in the road, a bump in the road, and they need some advice, they'll probably come to you. They'll probably come to you.
One thing I've always learned, I don't care care if I go in the store, wherever I go. I can look at a person and tell if he's a godly person or not. The way he carries it.
Well, that's, yeah, normally you can. Normally you can. Now, there's a difference between being a moral person and being a godly person. There's more to morality.
Okay.
You can be a moral person and still not be godly. Okay. So, just keep that in mind. But you're right. You can. You can. You can definitely tell a person that's not godly, can't you?
Yes.
That's for sure. So, we need to keep that in mind. Okay. The idea I'm trying to get across is that if you live the way you need to live, you do the things that you need to do, people notice that. Okay. I've always said in my life that if I'm deathly ill, you know, or I got a real problem, I've got one type of person I want to pray for me. Who would that be? What does God tell us? The prayers of what? Of a righteous man availeth much. I want a righteous man praying for me because I want God to hear it. Okay. So, and so that's the idea. People respect that. And when they come to you and say, would you pray for me? There's a reason why they're doing that. Okay. They want prayer, but we want righteous people praying for us because God listens to them. Okay. That's the old idea behind it. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments over the next few weeks, and I want you to be thinking about that. We'll deal with we're going to just take them right in order. The first two or three, I think it's three, deal with our relationship with God, and so we'll deal with that first, and then the others deal with our relationship with our mankind. Okay, I'll try to keep this short this time because I always go over, but I want to close with a little example here that we kind of drive this home a little bit. There was a man and his son went out deep sea fishing. Anybody ever been deep sea fishing? I mean, you might go 30 miles off the coast out there where you won't see nothing but water and maybe an oil rig every once in a while. Okay. Well, it got dark. They're out there on the water at dark. Okay. Now, when it's dark and you're even 4 or 5 miles out, you know, you better know what you're doing or you better drop that anchor and stay where you're at. Okay. But the father was very knowledgeable and he was, they were heading back in and he was real sleepy, and so he told his son, he said, son, I'm gonna take a nap here. He said, you drive the boat, and he said, he pointed out the North Star up there, and he said, see that North Star right up there? He said, you keep your eye on that North Star, and you go towards that North Star, and you'll make it home. Okay? And so he did. He fell down, and he was taking a nap, and the son was driving, and sooner or later, off he dozed, you know. Well, in the process of his dozing, the current kind of turned that boat around, and they started right back out to sea. Okay. Well, I don't know how far they went, but they went quite a ways. And all of a sudden the son woke up and he looked up looking for the North Star and he couldn't find it. Okay. So he ran and woke his daddy up and said, Daddy, wake up. He said, we've gone past that star. You need to give me another star. Okay. Well, what happened? The North Star was behind us. He didn't lose. The North Star didn't go away. In this hemisphere, the North Star never disappears. So if you got it, you got some way of knowing which way is north, okay? What had happened was he had taken his eyes off of the guide, okay, and now he was going the wrong way. And so the father had to get him turned around and going back in the right way, okay? That's the way this country is today. And this problem is not just in this country. I'm not picking just on the United States of America. It's worldwide, okay? Everything is. We've taken our eyes off of the North Star, which is, you know, basically we're going to say the Ten Commandments right now, but it's God's will. And we're going in the wrong direction, okay? If we're going to get back on the right road, if we're going to get back to where we're a nation pleasing to God, we've got to get back in the direction that God wants us to go. Okay. So let's kind of, as we go through this series, let's think of the Ten Commandments as being our North Star. Okay. We want to talk about these, each one, talk about what it means to us and what we need to do in order to be pleasing to God and have a better relationship with one another. Okay. Now, I'll just warn you right now. When we get down to the one that says, keep the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Okay, we'll talk about that when we get there. Okay, we said that the old law was abolished. What was the old law? You know, keep the Sabbath day. Okay, that's abolished. Is the idea of worship been abolished though? No, it's not. Okay, that's the principle we want to keep in mind. So I'll just let you know right now, we're not going to try to say, keep the Sabbath day. We're going to say, keep the Lord's day. Okay, so when we get there, I'll give you a little preview of that. Okay, got a minute or so? Comments, questions? Y'all need to start making some comments. I feel like I'm preaching to everybody. I need some help sometimes, okay? Okay. All right, if there's nothing else, then we'll be dismissed. Appreciate your time and your attention.